Remember the 5th of November, gunpowder treason and plot. We see no reason why gunpowder treason should ever be forgot. Guy Fawkes, 'twas his intent to blow out the king and parliament. 80 vows were laid below to prove old England's overthrow. By God's mercy, he was cashed with a darkened lantern and burning match. So holla, boys, let the bells ring. Holla, boys, God save the king. And what shall we do with him? Burn him! Hello, and welcome to this edition of the Jolly Heretic. Now, to those of you who are not English, we have a celebration coming up soon, a community celebration in England, which of course has been cancelled because of coronavirus, called Guy Fawkes Night. And this commemorates the fact that on the 5th of November 1605, one Guy Fawkes and his gang of Catholics were caught trying to blow up Parliament and kill the entire noble class. And they were caught and they were hung, drawn, and quartered. And in celebration, every 5th of November, we have Guy Fawkes Night. And traditionally, you would go around the community with a guy, which you had made. It would be a sort of life-size model of a person. And people would give you money. You would say penny for the guy. And then you would burn the guy in your garden. And this evolved into lots of fireworks and whatever, and communities coming together to celebrate this with fireworks and burning a big guy. And there are some communities that to this day burn someone who's unpopular or whatever as their burning of a guy. Now, this was very, very popular when my parents were children, and it was to some extent still popular when I was a child, but it's gradually sort of dying out. And it's dying out in the same way that lots of community activity is dying out. We are increasingly doing things alone. We are an increasingly atomized society in which we don't do community things. Public houses are shutting down because we would rather drink at home. Community centres are shutting down because they're not used anymore. Local political associations are becoming smaller and smaller and smaller. We are becoming a much less pro-social population. In America, if you watch the Flintstones or the Simpsons, a traditional social activity among men was to go bowling. Now increasingly we are bowling alone. And indeed, there was a book that was written about 20 years ago by the sociologist Robert Putnam that was entitled Bowling Alone, in which he looked at precisely this phenomenon. The phenomenon that since the 1960s, we have become far less pro-social. And he looks into reasons that why this is the case. What's going on that we've become less pro-social? Is it to do with television? What's the reason? Now, I read this book. I was our squire suggested I read this book. I read this book and I thought to myself, well, isn't the obvious reason changes in the nature of intelligence and what this has set off? And that's what I think is the reason for what's going on. Because what you see in the data that is presented by Robert Putnam is not that we become simply less pro-social from about 1960 onwards. We become more pro-social between about 1900 and 1960. We reach a peak of doing these pro-social, community-oriented things, and then we start to become less pro-social. Now, before I go into the theoretics of what's going on and why I think it's to do with intelligence and us becoming more stupid, let me look at what he says. So, voting participation goes up from about 1900, peaks in 1960, then declines. Participation in national chapters of association increases from about 1900, peaks in 1960, scouts and things like that, then declines. Participation in parent-teacher association starts to increase, 1900, peaks in 1960 around then declines. Going to church starts to go up from about 1940, peaks in 1960, then declines. Involvement in athletic associations going up from 1940, peaks in 1960, then declines. And the same is true of union membership, of membership of professional associations, of membership of card-playing clubs, of philanthropy and giving to charity, of subjectively how much you trust people. This starts to decline from about 1960 onwards, and all manner of other things. So there is this decline, there is an increase
in being pro-social, and then there is a decline. Now, this parallels something very interesting, which is that capita levels of genius, per capita levels of major innovations per million of population, reach a peak in about 1870. Then they start to decline, and then in about 1900, something like that, they start to go up. They reach another peak. It's not as high as the peak of 1870, but it's still a peak, round about the 1960s, and then they start to go down again. So something's happening in the 1960s. Something's happening, which means that the 1960s is peak, in a sense, is peak civilization. And that makes a great deal of sense if you think that the most amazing innovations we've ever achieved, I mean, going to the moon, going into space, these kinds of things, these are things that were dreamed of for a very long time. The idea that we could go into space, let alone the idea that we could put men on the moon, these are quite extraordinary achievements. And these things happened in the 1960s, these major, incredible, and even Concorde as well, supersonic speed, these all happened in this period of incredible intellectual fruitfulness in the 1960s. And since then, we've gone into dramatic decline. And in terms of per capita innovation, we are now back at the level that we were in about 1600. Now, for those of you that aren't familiar with this, let's look at the history of this situation. So, first of all, and why intelligence is relevant. So, first of all, what is this thing intelligence? Intelligence is the ability to solve cognitive problems and solve those cognitive problems quickly. That's what intelligence is. Intelligence, up until the Industrial Revolution in about 1800, was under strong selection, and we were definitely becoming more intelligent every generation. We know this was happening because every generation, the richer 50% wealth correlates with intelligence at about 0.4, and every generation, the richer 50% of the population was becoming had doubled fertility of the poorer 50% of the population. And genetic analyses as well have demonstrated that we were becoming more intelligent across time. Heads were getting bigger, whatever. On every marker you can think of, we were becoming more intelligent. We were selecting for intelligence under these harsh Darwinian conditions that were present before the Industrial Revolution. With the Industrial Revolution, then we have a change because we have these breakthroughs in terms of medicine, in terms of living standards, in terms of inoculations, things like this. And so the degree to which we are selecting for intelligence starts to decrease because people that are less intelligent, that formerly would have been, child mortality was 50% overall, but it's much higher among the poor, and poverty is associated with low intelligence, starts to collapse. Also, we have the innovation of contraception. This is taken up first by the higher classes. Using contraception is associated with future orientation, which is a correlate of intelligence, and it's associated with impulse control, which is a correlate of intelligence, and it's associated with being able to think things through and use things properly, which is a correlate of intelligence. And therefore, we would expect more intelligent people to better use contraception, which they do, and therefore the correlation with positive correlation between intelligence and how many children you have, surviving children you have, becomes negative, and we start to become less intelligent. And at the time of writing, there was a minus 0.2 correlation between how many children you have and your IQ, and only those that have an IQ of about 80 have above replacement fertility. We know, based on various measures, that intelligence is definitely going down. One correlate of intelligence is your reaction times, how quickly you respond to stimuli. These are getting longer. A study from Iceland found that the prevalence of alleles in the population that are associated with very high intelligence is decreasing across the last three generations. So we're becoming less intelligent. Now, consistent with this, the level of genius, the level of amazing breakthroughs, the level of recognized by everybody, amazing breakthroughs, goes up across time, and this has been traced. It goes up. If you look at my book, At Our Wits' End, Why We're Becoming Less Intelligent and What It Means for the Future, which I wrote with Michael Woodley of Manee, it goes up across time. It reaches a peak in about 1870, so about a generation after the Industrial Revolution, where we have all these major innovations happening all the time, and then it starts to decline, which is consistent, of course, with us becoming less intelligent. But it's not a completely linear decline. There are humps and bumps in this decline. Now, what we would expect on this basis would be that as the society becomes more intelligent, the correlates of intelligence would go up. What are the correlates of intelligence? Well, there are many correlates of intelligence, but one of them is trust. People that are more intelligent are more trusting. A possible reason for this is that if you're intelligent, you're more able to work out how other people think and whatever, and so therefore it pays to be trusting and to get on with people. Whereas if you are very low in intelligence, then you're probably going to get fooled and gulled, and so it pays to trust nobody. Another correlate of intelligence is simply being pro-social. This may be because intelligence has been concomitantly selected for with pro-social traits, or it may be that people that are higher in intelligence are better able to solve social problems, which they are, and so therefore they get something out of being pro-social. But whatever it is, people who are intelligent are more pro-social. People who are intelligent are more likely to have what we would call burger values. People who are intelligent are more likely to join civic societies. They're more likely to vote. They're more likely to believe in democracy. They're more likely to try to sustain democracy because they can think ahead into the future. They can understand that these things are fragile and they need to be maintained. They're more likely to go on protests. They're more likely to engage in any. They're more likely to join social societies. They're more likely to contribute to the community. They are higher in altruism, possibly because being high in intelligence, they can conceive of how other people think better than people that are low in intelligence. This makes them empathetic, and this makes them, enjoy being with people and social societies. They're also competitive, and social societies, because under pre-industrial conditions, the people that were highest in socioeconomic status were the most likely to pass on their genes. And so you can see how intelligence would be associated with that kind of those kinds of desires, and these kinds of societies allow you to be competitive and allow you to sort of showcase your how pro-social you are and make people like you and thus allow you to kind of get on in evolutionary terms. Intelligence is selected for in evolutionary terms. So again, the two things would sort of go together in a sort of bundle. So people that are intelligent are more pro-social, they're more active, they're more into these community values and all this sort of thing. So what you would expect is that as we were becoming more intelligent, we would become more pro-social. Now that would imply, of course, that the peak intelligence in 1870, when it seems to be that we were our most intelligent, would correlate with peak in terms of all of this social stuff, in terms of peak union membership, peak card clubs, peak philanthropy, peak trust, peak everything. This is not the case, and the reason I think it's not the case is because there are other factors involved. So to give an example, selection pressure for intelligence is higher the colder and the more predictable the environment is. This would imply that it would be people that were in the far north, that's in prehistoric in pre-industrial times, let's say England or whatever, that would be more intelligent than people that were further south, such as the Romans. But it was the Romans that managed to innovate amazing things first and come up with these amazing breakthroughs and develop this extraordinary civilization. The reason for that was the people in the far north were so up against it that they couldn't experiment, they couldn't take chances, they couldn't develop an infrastructure which would permit them to develop a civilization. Whereas the Romans, though they may have been less intelligent, were able to do that because it was slightly warmer, therefore they could slightly less harsh, and therefore they could experiment and they could take risks and whatever, and they could build up a civilization. Now, I think that makes sense of what has happened here. So in 1870, most of the population are extremely poor, extremely up against it, struggling to survive. They don't have free time. They don't have the wealth that would be necessary in order to pursue these kinds of hobbies. They don't have the education that would be necessary to pursue these kinds of hobbies, so they can't. And therefore, these kinds of activities, which are looked at by Putnam in Bowling Alone, are these kinds of burger activities are restricted to a tiny minority. So they go up, they start to increase as the wealth of the population increases. So as the wealth of the population increases and more people, because the Industrial Revolution sets off all these innovations which make everybody richer, which raises standards of living, then more and more and more people are drawn into what we might call the middle class are drawn into the possibility of these kinds of pro-social things, these kinds of burger values, which even though they would have perhaps been slightly more intelligent a generation earlier, they wouldn't have been able to do because a lot of them weren't literate or weren't particularly literate, a lot of them weren't particularly educated, a lot of them were just about struggling to survive, they just weren't rich enough, basically. But the Industrial Revolution, underpinned by this intelligence, sets off the pot of this wealth, which opens up the possibility of more people who are deep down, you know, highly intelligent, much more intelligent than similar people of the similar social class would be now. I mean, we think that in about 1880, the average IQ was possibly about 15 points higher than it is now, which is the difference between a high school science teacher and a university professor in science. It's a big difference. And so therefore, we start to see a growth in the society as a whole, as marked by these markers, in these burger values. So you have therefore have more and more people being pro-social, more and more people enjoying the pro-social life. That's the first thing. The second thing is that because the society is so rich, it is able to inculcate via the education system more, not only are people more educated and therefore directed to be more interested in these kinds of burger values, in these pro-social things, but also they are pushed more towards their phenotypic maximum IQ. So actually, in a sense, although at the genetic level we may be becoming less intelligent, and we are becoming less intelligent, there is a degree to which this is offset by people becoming more educated, and therefore more people pushed to their phenotypic maximum IQ via the education system. And therefore, again, for that reason, more people start to take on these kinds of values, these kinds of ways of thinking that are associated with intelligence. You would also perhaps expect levels of trust to increase for this reason among certain segments of the population, because they are basically becoming more intelligent. They are being pushed to their phenotypic maximum. So you've got a situation where you've got people that have the wealth, more people that have the wealth to do these things, and the time to do these things. They have the inclination to do these things because they are reasonably intelligent and whatever. And therefore, they do engage in these activities. Now, at the same, now, why does this parallel, this hump, this change in the decline in per capita genius? Why is it that this rise in these pro-social burger activities parallels a rise in genius? Well, what the society is doing is a sort of optimal situation where it is inculcating people are highly intelligent. That's the first thing. Secondly, the society has long been under a situation of group selection. And under group selection, where you have two groups fighting against each other, the group which comes up with more innovations, more and better innovations, is more likely to beat the other group in times of warfare. And so this militates in favor of a group that has an optimal small percentage of geniuses. Geniuses being people that have outlier high IQ, but moderately antisocial traits. And this allows them to come up with a brilliant idea because they have outlier high IQ, to think outside the box because they're low in conscientiousness, they're low in impulse control, they're low in conformity, basically. So therefore, they can think outside the box and come up with original ideas. And also to be moderately low in agreeableness. This is because new ideas always offend against vested interests and upset people and piss people off. But they don't care about that, and they're happy to present their new idea. And so this is where the brilliant idea comes. And so the society that valued these kinds of geniuses to an optimum extent would dominate in the battle of group selection. And so you have a society where Darwinian conditions have been weakening for, let's say, 100 years or something like that, or even a little bit more than that. But that society still kind of values genius. So it still values them. Because, of course, the negative side of genius is that these people are antisocial, these people are a problem, these people upset people, these people don't conform, whatever. But the society still values genius, still understands the importance of genius. That's the first thing. Secondly, you have a society that, although it's becoming less religious, it still is quite religious, and that means it has these monumentalist values. such as the importance of truth, and truth being something that's absolutely objective and truth being kind of verified by God, such as the idea that it is the best society in the world and God has blessed it as the best society in the world, that is superior to other societies and therefore it needs to fight those societies to be the best because that is God's will, that's the will of God, such as the idea that there are certain eternal values, that there's eternity and we must struggle towards eternity, we must fight towards eternity and we must fight and win for the greater glory of God. So has these sorts of values still to a certain extent. And thirdly, then, because it's so rich, it's able to establish institutions and throw money at people like this such that they can do quite extraordinary things. Now, those values were still there. And fourthly, there is a degree to which it's a little bit less religious than it was. And this is important because it means that it's slightly more open to questioning things. It's slightly more open to questioning dogmas of religion which might interfere with science. So that's also important. It's become a little bit less religious. It's not peak religious. Peak religious would have been a little bit earlier. It's a little bit less religious. It's still very religious, but a little bit less religious. And so it's open to allowing these people to question sort of everything in the pursuit of truth. And finally, it's got the resources now, because the Industrial Revolution has allowed it to build up this kind of capital, basically, that it can throw at these people and it can say, there you go, go and do brilliant things. And that's what they do. And they take us into space and they take us to the moon and all of this sort of thing. So they are not really just themselves, these geniuses, but they've been brought up in a religious culture which values truth, which has eternal values, which values eternity and our place in eternity and so on. And even which takes the view that we can take significant risks, because if you look at these monumentalist values that are associated with religiousness, these are group values. These are things like group loyalty and authority and structure. These are you do everything for the good of the group. Whereas the individualist values, which you don't have so much with religion, are things like avoiding harm and everyone being equal. Well, they're not interested in that. They don't care about those things. Those are individualist. They want the best. They want to get the best people, and if people die in the process of going into space or going to the moon, well, then fine. They die for the greater glory of God or for the greater glory of some ersatz god, such as the nation or something like that. So that's all right. So they take these amazing risks. And so from this, you get these things like Concorde and going into space and going to the moon and whatever. And the peak of this then is the 1960s. And after the 1960s, that optimum is broken because we become so low in religiousness that we lose these monumentalist values. And therefore, the genius is no longer a useful person who can help us with getting to the stars, and like Icarus. He's just a problem who causes fights and who upsets people and disunifies society. So as religiousness goes down, religiousness is associated with trust. People are more trusting if they're religious because they know that other person will behave well because he believes in God and you believe in God. But as religiousness goes down, people will become less trusting of each other and therefore they will engage less in civic activities because these things are underpinned by trust. So the decline of religiousness starts in the 1960s. We can look at there's various reasons for this. One of them is another thing is that the mortality salience again goes down. This pushes religiousness down. It pushes it below its optimum. So again, because of all this, social trust starts to decrease. Intelligence all the time is going down. But there's an optimum relationship between intelligence and wealth, which permits this peak of civic activity. But eventually, the intelligence is going down at a faster rate relative to the wealth going up to sustain the participation in these civic activities and these burger values. And so, therefore, civic activities start to go down. As religiousness goes down, the idea that we are an important people, blessed by God and whatever, and eternal importance, that starts to decrease. And therefore, we start questioning ourselves and you start getting changes in the law and everyone's equal and these kind of individualist values, and therefore a rise in immigration. Immigration, as Robert Putnam showed in another study, undermines social trust. It means there is lack of trust between the natives and the immigrants because they're genetically different from each other, so they don't trust each other, but also it undermines social trust among the natives because the natives perceive the immigrants as people with whom other natives who are less trustworthy might collaborate against their interests. So for that reason as well, you get a lack of social trust and you get a collapse in all of these things. And so there was an optimum period. And that period was the period around the 1960s, where all of these things were high enough to create a kind of silver age. We're becoming less intelligent, fine, but to create a kind of silver age where we did some brilliant things. And it was after that it went down. And I feel that I want to a metaphor here. I feel that intelligence allows me to cut through with the sword of intelligence the various sociological explanations that are offered by Putnam, such as TV and whatever. It's intelligence and what that set off and its correlates, which explain why it is that we are now bowling alone, but we reached a peak of prosociality in the 50s and a mini peak of intellectual brilliance in the 50s and 60s, and those days are now, I'm afraid, behind us. Well, if you've enjoyed this, then please feel free to contribute to the channel, which you can do through the various links below, the various ways you can fund this channel if you have enjoyed it. I live stream on Mondays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. UK time, 2 p.m. New York. Please tune in. Sometimes you will not be able to find this by typing in Jolly Heretic into YouTube because YouTube will suppress it. So you have to actually go into the channel and then you will find it. I put these things on BitChute as well, so please subscribe on BitChute. Please subscribe here. You can follow me on Twitter at Jolly Heretic, and I hope you've enjoyed this. And if you have any ideas, feel free to contact me and suggest them. And I will see you soon, and goodbye, and happy Guy Fawkes Night, and goodbye.